This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are standing by for our guest. NFL insider Jordan Schultz is going to join us from Fox. He is not only an NFL insider, he does a podcast, Why is Draymond Green Talking About Football with Jordan Schultz, which is on Instagram every Thursday at 6:30. So maybe after we're wrapping up tonight, if you want to. You know, of course, you'll be listening to The Fan after dark, but at some point, you know, after 11, before 6 in the morning, maybe you'll find some appropriate time to watch that show and see why Draymond Green's talking football. We'll ask Jordan Schultz what's going on here. Draymond Green, probably a big football fan, obviously. Went to Michigan State, big college football school. Jordan Schultz is joining us here in just a couple of minutes. Tomorrow, your next chance to pick up a 2024 G-Bag Nation flag is going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Louisville. KMC Masterpiece is up there. Kevin and Corey are going to be having a great time with you and, you know, handing out some terrific G-Bag swag there in forms of the 2024 G-Bag Nation Whataburger flag. Okay, while we wait for Jordan, let's talk a little bit of Cowboys. Okay, I love this question that Todd Archer brought up this morning in his piece with ESPN Dallas. Are we about to see the end of the franchise record 19-game streak without a 100-yard rusher? You got to go back to week 3 of last year, Tony Pollard against Arizona, to find a 100-yard performance from this from any Cowboys running back, any individual.
I wouldn't even guess that game. You know, when you think back to that, it seemed like they were playing from behind the whole time. That Tony Pollard even ran for 100.
They were committed that day. I think 21 runs.
And you're playing with backup linemen in that game.
You were.
Yeah, but the Cowboys, Rico Dowdle, 87 yards, 20 carries, marked the closest a running back has been to the century mark since Pollard's conquest. He did that against the league's fourth-ranked run defense. So that kind of begins Todd Archer's premise of his thing, right? Like, okay, they're not using Zeke and Vaughn as much. They're giving it to the right runner, and they just, you know, had this game against, a pretty dang good defense there in the Steelers. From Halloween 1965 to November of 1966, the Cowboys win 18 games between 100-yard efforts from their tailback.
Don Perkins.
And from 2009 to 2010 and 2012 to 2013, the Cowboys went 17 games without a 100-yard rusher. So that was, like, I think at the beginning of the DeMarco Murray era.
Where that's what I would guess.
They didn't realize they had a beast on their hands. Okay. Joining us now here on Your Home of the Cowboys, 105 Through the Fan, is the Fox Sports NFL insider and the co-host of the new podcast there, Why is Draymond Green Talking About Football? It's Jordan Schultz with you here on The Fan. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck you doing?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah, thanks for joining us. And could you answer that question for us? That was an interest for us here in studio. Why is Draymond Green talking football now?
You know, it's one of those things that came together really organically. We had a mutual connection, a mutual friend, and we started to discuss our love of sports, and then football came up, and I didn't realize that Dre was such a big football fan. And once I realized that, I started to, I guess you could say, test his knowledge by pushing him on some topics and just seeing how much he knew. And I was really impressed, like really impressed. And we had a few conversations, and then, you know, to like see if we actually had that chemistry, I flew out to L.A. in August and spent the day with him basically and just talked football and realized that we had something that we thought was that was really special. And, you know, like he's such a polarizing guy, you know, everyone – I think with Draymond, what's super cool, and I don't have this quality, I don't have this trait, is that a lot of people like him and a lot of people don't, but it feels as if everyone likes to hear what he has to say. You know, they're interested in what he has to say. And, you know, he's adversarial, but in person, like one-on-one, he's not. And in the show, he is. So there's all these variations of him that I like, and it's been really cool. We're live every Thursday night, 7:30 Eastern, so that'll be 6:30 for you guys on Instagram.
And he hasn't tried to choke you yet or punch you or anything?
No, but, you know, he got I think it was the media day. He got a little tippy with one of the reporters, local reporters, asking him if he was I think he said, the reporter said, you know, the fans are a little worried about
me. Yeah.
You. And he said, why, you know, why are they worried? They don't need to be worried about me. And it was this whole thing. And then in person, you know, it's like he's totally different. Like, it's such a different dynamic. And I feel like when we're on the show, he morphs back into that, what you see on TV. And he's a fascinating guy. I really like him. And he wants to – listen, this guy wants to be in media for 20-something years. Like, this is yeah. – he's obviously already doing it at a high level.
Yeah, he's so, already good at that. And he's good at basketball. He's such a great passer, you know. And I don't think of a lot of basketball players as being tough like football players, but he's one of them. How good of a football player was he?
Well, he was pretty good. He was very successful at a young age with basketball, and he goes to Michigan State, wins a couple state titles. But his freshman year at Michigan State, he played in the spring football game, basically a tight end, I guess he was.
Okay.
So he does it, and I asked him what happened, and he said that's when he knew that football wasn't for him because he got tattooed by a defensive lineman who basically put him in a chokehold. with his hands, and he realized just how big and strong those guys were, because he's a big strong guy. I mean,
yeah.
He's all of 6'6", 6'7", and you know 240 pounds, and he's a beast. And I said, well, yeah, but you're a big guy. And he says, yeah, but that football strength, that football mentality is different. So I think he was a good football player, but you know, there's that argument that you've seen a lot is. Could NFL guys have success in the NBA, or who would have more, NBA or NFL, switching sports? And I've gone back and forth with it, but I think it's harder to go, in my opinion, from football to basketball. I think that's almost impossible.
So we're talking with NFL insider Jordan Schultz here on 105.3 The Fan. It was interesting with Woj stepping down on ESPN. They were kind of teasing like, okay, maybe Jeff Passan, who does baseball, or we'll just have Adam Schefter maybe be the Woj replacement. Congratulations to Shams. Do you think you'd be able to double dip in the NFL and the NBA as an insider?
You know, not only do I think I would not be able to do it, I think it would be an absolute catastrophe. Dude, it's so hard. Like, I don't even know. I saw those reports, and I was really surprised because I know how hard it is to do one. The only way you could potentially make the switch one sport is if you got, you know, grandfathered in with the contacts. Like, if Woj were to give Jeff all of his contacts or Adam all of his contacts, then and say, like, you know, this is what – but even then, you don't have the relationships. You don't have that sweat equity. And, you know, I've gotten pretty friendly with Adam over the years. I was at ESPN for a period. And I was basically trying to do both, not realizing how hard it was and how unsuccessful I'd be. And I think it's impossible. And if, you know, just to make the switch from one sport to a different would be, to me, almost impossible. But to do both simultaneously, I don't know how anyone could do it.
Fox Sports NFL Insider, Jordan Schultz with you here in the G-Bag Nation. So what's the hottest story buzzing right now in the NFL that guys are talking about? Is it Devontae Adams' next destination or something else?
Devontae for sure, but that's also been looped into the Robert Saleh stuff. Like,
yeah.
You know, the Robert Saleh situation, I'm sure you have followed, and I know it's been a few days now, but it's so strange to me how everything went down. I mean, the guy goes into work on Monday after London. He's there all day, preparing for the next Monday night game.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
A week from, you know, next week. And then he comes back Tuesday and he gets there early again, and he's talking to his coaches and watching film. And then Christopher Johnson and Woody Johnson, the owners of the Jets, come down to his office. And by the way, they're circumventing the GM. The GM isn't really aware of this. They go down to his office and they fire the guy. I mean, I've never heard of that. Like, it doesn't – listen, every front office is different, and obviously the Cowboys operate in a pretty unique way. But there has to be some kind of collaborative approach. And I think, with all due respect to the Jets, you know, this ownership took over in 2000. They have the 26th worst winning percentage since then. They have not been in the playoffs in 13 years, which is really hard to do in the NFL. And I really think they want Jeff Ulbrich, the interim, to win the job. Everyone in that building really likes him. He comes from that quite a successful coaching lineage. He was in Atlanta with Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel. And this guy has a lot of ability as a coach. I mean, the Jets blocked his request when the Niners lost to Mikko. The Niners wanted to bring him in, and he obviously played there. But at the same time, for Woody Johnson to say that Robert Saleh was the best they could do this season is wild to me when you fire the guy five games in. I mean, this was a really hot coaching cycle. You know, you had Ben Johnson out there and Dan Quinn and, you know, Bill Belichick. Obviously, he doesn't necessarily like the Jets, but there were a lot of really, really strong candidates. And they just, you know, Mike Vrabel is another one, and they decided that they were going to go with Robert Saleh. And then, you know, 5 weeks into the season, they say he's not the guy. It's just incredibly strange.
Jordan, how believable was Aaron Rodgers' statement about his involvement?
You know, I reported the day of the firing because that was just one of those on the phone all day deals.
Sure.
And I reported that he was blindsided by it. And when he went on with Pat the next day, you know, he basically said the same thing. The entire building was shocked. The defensive players included. And I think the fact that Woody calls Aaron the night before,
yeah,
and Aaron says we didn't talk about it, that's what has people, you know, really questioning Aaron. As does the report that I didn't report this, but it was reported that that Robert Saleh was on the verge of firing Nathaniel Hackett, who's obviously Aaron's guy.
Right.
And so the timing of that seems strange. I'll certainly admit that, but I have to go on what I was told, which was that Aaron had no influence in the firing, and that his relationship with Saleh, albeit not perfect, was certainly functional.
Do you think that Woody Johnson told Aaron about the potential of firing Hackett, and that got in, maybe the conversation then switched? Could that be a possibility?
Okay, so you're asking, could Woody have told Aaron?
Yeah, could Woody have sold that? Up? Yeah, the intent that he was going to fire that his guy that Hackett was potentially going to be fired, and that maybe Aaron Rodgers said. Go ahead.
That's a really interesting question. Man, it's tough because I was told so vehemently that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
That certainly would make sense. But I also don't know. I never asked to confirm the report that he was going to fire him. So it's hard for me to speak on that. You know, I think Aaron, when he said people, it's funny to him how much power people think he has. That statement, you know, I live in New York, and that statement, I was just asking friends that are Jet fans, and that statement bothered them because they feel like he's a mercenary and that he came there and he has all the power.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand where they're coming from, but I think also Aaron not being there last year for the majority of the season, know if he really knew what he was getting himself into with the Jets, because this is an organization that is simply, it's not a healthy organization. It's not a functional organization. And you can look at the playoff stats and lack of wins, lack of success to see that. And I don't think Robert Saleh was a particularly good head coach, but I also don't know that they gave him a ton to succeed with over the course of his 5 years. So Aaron not being there last year also, to me, speaks to some of this. Listen, at some point, you know, maybe there are more things that come out, but at this point, I have to go with what I've been told.
It's NFL insider Jordan Schultz with us. You know, we're pretty clear that the Cowboys aren't going to do anything big, but are you hearing if they're involved in trying to make the team better? Any Cowboys buzz out there?
I haven't. It's still really early though, and the trade deadline getting pushed back a week into November past Halloween has changed things. So, in other words, some of these clubs like a Carolina, for example, that struggled and has obviously made the big quarterback change. So they're 1-3. If they win this weekend, then they're 2-3, and they're back in it. If they lose, they're 1-4, and then they could be 1-5 with a tough game. But because the timeline has been pushed back with the trade deadline, it's still a little bit early on the trade front. I mean, Dallas, I was pretty quick to go out and say that Dallas had no interest legitimately in Devontae Adams. There's just no way that they were in. Obviously, who was it that came out? It wasn't Jerry. It was
Steven.
Someone came out the next day. Yeah, Steven, guess who it was? And he says, listen, we're not going that route. The Cowboys are in a tough position in the sense that I don't think the first month has gone as well as they thought. They come off a pretty emotional come-from-behind win. But I still don't know if the Cowboys know what their identity is. They haven't gotten the run game going the way they need. I think they really miss Tony Pollard. I don't think Dak has been quite as sharp as he was last year. And clearly, unless Jalen Tolbert really is going to be the number two, and maybe he is, with Brandon Cooks on IR, I would just highlight that position as a position of need. And so that's where I would look. And then obviously they have the injuries on the defensive line, and perhaps they would upgrade there at some point. But I think it's still a little bit, I'd say 2 weeks early for me to really speculate on them. But I wouldn't imagine them spending acquiring anybody that's going to require them to spend real money.
I've always felt the Cowboys seem to get connected with every big name that's out there. Is that something for you? Like,
yeah.
that happens? Like, agents just kind of float the Cowboys?
Agents want to float the Cowboys because they know if they do, it'll get tread. It'll get traction. You know, and I've had agents. There are certain brand teams, Dallas, Philadelphia, the Giants, basically just the whole NFC East in general. But, you know, now obviously the teams like the Chiefs and the Bills, just teams that will drive traffic. You know, it's a very specific formula, I think sometimes it does work. I think the Raiders would have loved for the Cowboys to be involved with the Devontae Adams sweepstakes. They're not. But in general, that is one of the teams that moves the needle so much on a national level that agents will certainly float it, even if it's not especially true.
Thank you so much for your time, Jordan. Enjoy week 6, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Guys, I really love the show and would be happy to come on anytime. Thank you so
much. Sweet. Salute to you, man. That's awesome. Looking forward to Why is Draymond Green Talking About Football with Jordan Schultz. That's Thursdays, 6:30 Central there on the IG. I know we're going to be getting content from that.
Yeah.
You know, when Draymond starts talking about stuff, he has a way of putting things that goes viral.
So, podcast is awesome, man.
Yeah, it's a good partner to have. You know, if you're a reporter, you know, teaming up with, maybe the next, I don't know if calling him a Charles Barkley would be a compliment to him, but as far as the way that you can polarize audience and gain attention, I think maybe that analogy could hold. Okay, Woolchuck, NFL news of the day is coming up next. Where are you taking us?
Potential Cowboys history. Did Troy ever consider deleting this tweet? And do you like this nickname? That's next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.